If I walk very slowly, I'll hit my mark when the choir is seated. I can do it anyway, okay? Not to put anybody on the spot. Hello, good morning, everybody. That beautiful song was written by our very own David Kerrigan. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. I'm going to start today by telling you a story by the author Charles Eisenstein, who's one of my favorite authors. I don't know that he's famous, but he's really good. Anyway, he told the story about when he had written this book. I think it was his first book that he published, and he self-published. And he was just sure that this book was going to be a bestseller. He was affirming and just knowing the truth and absolutely trusting that this book would just sell millions and change the world. And every day he would look at his site where he was self-publishing, where he was selling it, and would be like, one copy sold, zero copies sold. In a month, five copies sold. He said to himself, what am I doing wrong? And so he went into a meditation, and in this meditation, an angelic presence appeared to him and said, Charles, I want to tell you something, okay? I want you to make a choice. Would you rather have a famous book, a bestseller, or would you rather do the work of loving kindness right where you are all the time? Just pretend it's a choice. You may be able to have both, but if you had to make a choice, which would you choose? Well, I'm sure he was tempted to do the famous bestseller, but probably rolling his eyes, he said, oh, well, I'll do the work of loving kindness right here where I am right now, I suppose. And he did, and he let go of his attachment to his book selling and becoming a bestseller. Shortly after that, Oprah called. And I don't know if his book is a bestseller, but he is definitely doing the work of spreading love and wholeness in the world. And that story is one way that he does it in terms of spreading this idea that when we pray for a certain result, it's usually wiser to let go of that result and just let the Holy Spirit, the wholeness of spirit, the change me message of the change me prayer that Hugh read, let that change us from the inside out so that we can be who love wants us to be in any given moment. But I also find that question that the angelic presence posted to Brother Charles was interesting. Would you rather have a bestseller, or would you rather do the work of love right here where you are now at all times, as much as possible? Because I often use that question for myself, but today I'm going to use it on you guys. I'm going to ask you, would you rather try and control everything and live a quiet life of desperation? Or would you rather just let go, surrender, and trust? How many want the first one? Okay. Oh, yeah. Sometimes, right? Sometimes we want that first one. We want to control everything because surrendering seems frightening to us. But really, I think it's because we just don't understand surrender and we don't understand trust. Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of our teaching, said that learning to trust will make us happy. And I always say, well, trust what? What am I supposed to trust? Well, it's trust divine love. That will make us happy. Trust the yearnings of our soul, the divine love manifesting as each of us. That will make us happy. Trust this greater vision for the world of the work that you must do, all that you must do to bless all beings. That will cause deep and powerful happiness, much more happiness than we could find if we were living that life of quiet desperation trying to control everything, right? So this talk is about the technology of trust because we don't necessarily know how to trust. Does anybody remember that old television show? I'm dating myself here. Some of you are far too young to remember this TV show. But that TV show called It's About Time. Yeah? Can anybody sing the theme song? It's about time, it's about space, it's about... Okay, never mind, that's enough. Okay, yeah. So the premise of this TV show, for those of you who were not privileged enough to see this great piece of art, was about astronauts in the 60s or so that traveled through time and went back to the days of the cave people. Are we allowed to call them that these days? Everything's so politically correct. Can you say caveman? I think you can. Or cavewoman, cave persons. How's that? What? Did I hear? Persons who dwell in caves, yes. Anyway, they went back to the caveman time. But then what happened the first or second season or something, was that they figured out how to get back to the present, to the 60s, and they brought a couple of the cave people with them. So the cave people came to the 60s, and they were bewildered by everything that they didn't know, by all of this amazing stuff around them. And I have to tell you that sometimes I am bewildered by all of the amazing stuff that we have here. I mean, the internet. Anybody remember the first time they bought a book from Amazon, or they downloaded a book? You're like, I pushed a button and I have a book. How did that happen? Where did that book like fly through the air into my little device here? You know, and then I shared with you before that I got an Alexa over the holidays, of Echo, Amazon Echo, which is like Siri, but it's a tower. And you speak to it and you say, Alexa, play Mozart, or whatever you want to say. And, you know, I like to visualize like the cave people looking at that and thinking that Mozart is actually in the Alexa. And Ella Fitzgerald is elbowing and trying to get out of the way so that she can do some singing. And they're all bunched in there, all these little beings in this Alexa. And finally, when I call them forth, one of them can sing it. Song. Am I weird? No. Yeah, okay, somebody's not, yeah, you're okay. Thank you for being honest, Joan. I appreciate that. But there is this mystery of technology, and the thing is that we don't really need to know how it works. We just need to know how we work with it. And that's a lot like God and spiritual law. If we think of the internet as infinite possibilities, because it really is, and if we think of Alexa as having infinite numbers of things that she can tell us, or songs that she can sing, because again, it really is, we need to know, we need to have the tools to access that infinity. And we can call Alexa the wrong name. I called her Siri the other day by mistake. She had hurt feelings. She didn't respond to me when I called her Siri, you know? And we can push all the wrong buttons and the internet won't come on, but it's not the internet's fault. The internet has been there forever. Even in the time of Moses, all of the science that created the internet was there. It's just that we didn't know how to use it. And that's why Ernest Holmes says that there is a good for you, and you can use it, but we have to learn how to use it. You know, when I talk about the internet in this way, sometimes people say, well, sometimes the internet doesn't work. You know, have you ever, like, sent an email and it hasn't arrived? How about that, Reverend Bonnie? But again, if that was you, I forgive you, by the way. I don't remember who it was. Again, it's not the internet's fault. There's some technological or equipment issue that is failing. The technology that makes the internet send emails, or that makes information come into the emails, or that makes a modem work, or that makes Alexa be able to sing Ella Fitzgerald, everything from Ella Fitzgerald to Philip Glass to Beethoven, all of that is intact. It's just our access of it that needs work. So that's part of what we're doing today, is learning how to access the infinity, the infinite and eternal nature of God. And I would say the reason that Ernest Holmes said that learning to trust will make us happy is that trusting in love, trusting in the supreme power and the omnipresence of love and our role in love, trusting in absolute reality and our place in it, which is an omnipresent part of love, an individuation of love, that is how we access the technology of love, through the technology of trust. We have to trust. A few weeks ago, I gave a talk about how we can let go of stuff by saying, leave it, leave it, leave it, right? A lot of people I say that to my dog when he picks up a Kleenex or something on the trail. Barty, leave it. And a lot of people have been repeating that back to me, and that's when you know you've been successful, when people can express the vision as expressed by your dog back to you. But, you know, there's another way. Leave it as one way. In the book that we're featuring this month, It's Not Your Money, Tosha Silver suggests that, like, you smash a bunch of stuff, like smash coconuts, or you rip the heads off of stuffed animals. And I personally cannot do that, because I think those coconuts want to live too, and so do the stuffed animals. So I came up with another object lesson in terms of how we can release something, particularly our bloated nothingness. Before I call up my spokesmodels, I want to tell you that our stories about why we cannot trust our bloated nothingness. We have all kinds of reasons why we can't trust, in love. We have all kinds of reasons why love will somehow be against us. You know, perhaps you were raised in a church that made it sound like God was a judge or a cosmic punisher or what have you. And even the words of, like, old hymns can kind of set you off. I was thinking of old hymns about trust. Anybody know? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Everybody, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust. Okay, first time ever in this church. Except maybe when the Baptists were here. Anyway. Trust and obey, that sounds like it. With our ideas about what obeying means, it means that somebody or something is going to try and get us to do something and toe the line and do something that we don't want. But really what obey means is to cooperate with spiritual laws. Like we have to cooperate with the laws of the internet, we have to cooperate with spiritual law. The primary spiritual law is that our thought creates experience. Our belief creates experience. So you see what you believe. You don't believe what you see. You actually make up stuff about what you see. You see what you believe. Okay? That's the primary spiritual law. Another spiritual law, two spiritual laws that Ms. Tosha Silver talks about in this book, are that for every problem, there is already a template for a solution in place. For every problem, there's already a solution in place. We just have to open ourselves to receive it. That's why we did the Change Me prayer. It opens us up to receive solutions for any problem. And another thing that Tosha Silver says is that God, she's not the only one who says this, but that we have to constantly remember that God, love, whatever you want to call it, the divine, is our source, always. It is the source of our life, of our breath, of our body, of our thoughts, of our oneness. It is the source of everything. And so how do we trust that when we've had all kinds of programming and perhaps all kinds of evidence that says that we shouldn't trust it, perceived evidence that says that we shouldn't trust it? How do we trust that? Well, we get our bloated nothingness out of the way, and I'm going to invite my three spokespeople to come forward. There you are. Okay. And we're going to do a little demonstration. You are the face of bloated nothingness. We hold you in our heart. Okay, so they're going to blow up balloons, and as they're blowing up the balloons, I want you to project all of your reasons to not trust on the balloons. Oh, God doesn't like me. I don't deserve to trust God. How can God possibly love somebody like me? God is a cosmic judge, a cosmic punisher. God is bad. Okay, that's enough. I don't want it to pop, okay? So just for a moment, just again, project all of the reasons why you think it's not safe to trust. And then don't do it yet. I'm going to cue you, okay? I'm going to ask you to let it go. You can let it go fast. Yeah, you can let it go slowly over time. That's beautiful. Good one. He practiced that. Or you can pop it with a heart pin. I'm scared. Okay. Let's give our friends a nice round of applause. See, and the point of that is that the story that you were making up about why it is not safe to trust, the story that you were making up about not trusting or that you don't deserve to trust or that love doesn't love you, it is as bloated and as nothing as the air in those balloons, and it is as easy to let go of. You can let go of it in any of the three methods that I suggested. If you do the third one, you need to get another balloon, another consciousness. But the balloons that were not popped with a heart pin, they can be filled with a different story. So if you would, in your mind, just let go of these old stories if you haven't already, and then just imagine the exhalation of God's love into your new story and what that looks like for you. Pick the best possible thing you can. The best possible thing you can. Now, I have to have just a tiny caveat about trust. You know, whenever I talk about, again, when I talk about stuff like this, people will say, well, there are certain people in certain situations that you can't trust, right? And I believe that is true. We're not trusting in God in that situation, though. We're trusting in a person or a situation, or we're falsely placing trust in something. I was hiking the other day with somebody, and my dogs have a reputation for being kind of rowdy, particularly the younger one, and there was a couple of coyotes in the vicinity, and my little dog, Sarah, she's not little, but she's younger. My younger dog, Sarah, has gotten bitten by a coyote in her bottom. Nothing fatal or anything or drastic, but, you know, we were concerned about walking towards the coyotes. But being diehard hikers that need to get to the place where we intended to go, we decided to push on anyway, or at least I decided to push on anyway, and I dragged my companion with me, and I said, I'm invoking the laws of divine protection. And then I thought for a moment, and I said, of course, the laws of divine protection are no match for my stupidity in this situation. But so instead, after that, after I realized that it might not be wise to walk where the coyotes were, I just went in and just very, very subtly went in and just was like, is this going to be okay? Ask God, is this going to be okay? Change me into someone who can let go of walking to that particular signpost if I need to be. And my instinct, my intuition and divine love said, it's fine. The coyotes will leave you alone. And they did, and all is well. So there are places where you might be tempted to trust in a human factor or in something in the world. And again, that's where you turn within and ask Divine Spirit to turn you into that being that trusts the truth beyond the facts. And see if you can trust that there is always a bigger picture at play and see what your role in it might be. It might be speaking up. It might be standing down. It might be resting. It might be coming forward. But trust will tell you what to do. A few other ways to invoke trust. In that book, and It's Not Your Money by Tosha Silver, in that book she has five techniques for invoking trust. And I really believe that all of this, you know, it seems like a to-do list and it seems like it might be a chore, and it's probably nothing that you haven't heard before, but it's all about getting ourselves to a place where we trust the universe. And some of them are a little different. You know, as I was thinking about these five things that I'll share in a moment, I was thinking about back when I lived in New York and I was a professional singer, and I had this friend, beautiful voice, and she was really, really good at singing Bach. And my opinion of Bach is that he hated women because he makes these really long lines that you can't get through without taking a breath. Probably writing for string instruments, you know, spoiled them for singers. But my friend could do it. My friend could do it, and I asked her, how do you do that? How do you make it through these Bach passages when they're so long? And she's like, yeah, I know they're long and I know it's hard, but I just try and think about something else. She's not sitting there thinking, we're going to run out of breath, I'm going to run out of breath. She's thinking about, I wonder what I'll get at the grocery store today. Something else. And I think that's what these techniques that I'm going to share with you are about. They are giving us something to do while our consciousness matures into the place where we can trust Spirit infinitely and endlessly and abundantly, trusting love. I've talked about two of them before, so I'm not going to go over them all again. The first one is offering our lives to the divine. That's why I had Hugh read the Change Me prayer so beautifully. Thank you for that. Read the Change Me prayer. That is a prayer of offering our lives to the divine, asking love to change us into who we must be. Who we must be in order to fulfill divine purpose, our soul's purpose, to bless all beings, all of that is part of the Change Me prayer. And one of the reasons I had him read it in church is that now we have a recording of it. So if you want to listen to it every day and let that change me prayer enter into you, just go to our website, www.venturacsl.org, and scroll over on the top bar to where it says watch, read, and listen. It'll be posted in the read part, and you can listen to it. No, you can watch it in the watch part, okay? So that is there available for you. A few weeks ago, I talked about complaining. Tasha Silver suggests that in order to trust, we need to let go of complaining. Complaining is a lot of hot air filling a balloon that is not serving us. Complaining is bloated nothingness. The complaints that we tell ourselves over and over again. You can go ahead and pop that balloon or let out the air or let it out fast or slow. You can just let go of complaining and find something else instead. Another thing that Tosha Silver invites us to do is to clean our space, to find something to clear, to take out all the bits and pieces of things that we've been clinging onto for years, and just ask Spirit to guide you. What is the next space I'm supposed to clear? You know, I cleared a space the other day that I didn't even know was there. I was getting something in a closet, and I noticed Hugh had a box of shoe polish, and I cleared it out. And it was so much fun. Not all of it. I asked him, you know, what he wanted to keep, but I got to throw out a lot of, like, shoe polish from the 60s, you know? It was really great. And what's really great about the clearing thing is that you start to notice your addiction to stuff, your attachment to stuff. You start to notice where you're holding on. You know, there are things where you debate, should I throw this out, should I not? And again, turn to Spirit. And sometimes it's really surprising to what we're clinging to. Let me show you something that I was clinging to that I had trouble with letting go of, but I think I'm going to do it now. This! Like, Bonnie, seriously, what are you clinging to? It's not a good look for you, you know? So if anybody wants it, Russell, I'm happy to give it to you. Okay. Should I throw it? Ooh, throw in the wig. Okay, there you go. Oh, perfect. All right. Will you stand up? I don't know. You look kind of like, I think there was a version of Jesus Christ Superstar where he had a wig like that, you know? I feel kind of like I'm in the presence of the divine when you put that thing on. So there's that. I can't really top that, what Ian did, but the other two things are to look at gratitude, to start being grateful for everything, and ultimately you'll see that your gratitude multiplies, and ultimately you'll see that you're grateful for even the things that are challenging. I've had more and more experiences recently of counseling people that are actually grateful for the adversity that comes into their lives because it stretches them into a greater heart space, and they know that they can use the information that they have in order to help somebody else someday. So there's that. And then the other thing is, so there's being grateful, and the other thing is being open to receive. If you would, just spread your arms out, try not to hit anybody, and say, I am open to receive.
I am open to receive.
I am completely open to receive.
I am completely open to receive.
I am open to receive amazing love. Yes, you are. And the only thing standing in the way of our ability to receive amazing love is, again, think of the internet. The technology of the internet was always there. It was always whirring away under the surface of things. And we just needed the tools in order to access it. Your willingness to say, I am open to receive amazing love, and to say it over and over again. It's rinse and repeat, say it over and over again, because there are many messages in there that say that for some reason you're not open to receive. Say it over and over again, and then you will start to notice something amazing. One of the amazing things is that you will receive amazing love, but the other amazing thing is that you will see that amazing love was always there, and you just didn't see it. I shared this with class the other day, and I'll share it again. I was in a rush trying to feed my animals and get to work or something, get to do something else, some task that I had, and I just was going, my animals are a little bit far from our back door, and I was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and I needed to go in again to get them something green to eat. This is my rabbit and my guinea pig. And I just said, oh man, I don't want to go back in the house again. I'm open to receive amazing love. And I looked down and the mint had started growing in our yard, and I picked mint for them and gave it to them. And it made me think, it made me wonder, how much other stuff am I missing simply because I forget that I am open to receive wonderful and beautiful things. You know, what it boils down to, I think, is deciding that the universe, yay, the universe, talk about receiving, right? That the universe is an amazing place. I love the quote where Albert Einstein says, we have to decide whether or not the universe is friendly or unfriendly. And I've certainly have had that experience. You know, when I was thinking about the early days of church, and I had the idea that the universe was unfriendly back then. And not only that, but it went into different parts of my lives, like my relationships and my work life and my relationship with the church. I felt like, and I wasn't even able to consciously articulate this, but I've felt like, yes, I know, it was awful. It was awful. I felt like it was an unfriendly space, not because anybody here was unfriendly, but because I was looking for rejection. And when you look for rejection, you will find it. And I did find it. I found a lot of it. And I was also looking for the other shoe to drop, like I was going to mess up somehow. So the church didn't feel like it was a safe place. And finally, not so long ago, actually, it took me a while to come to this conclusion. I just decided to start saying, this is a friendly church. I work in a friendly church. And it just was an amazing transformation of feeling so much more at home and so much more at peace and so much more willing to be vulnerable just by saying, I live in a friendly church. I work in a friendly church. And I had all kinds of insight, all of the stuff I just shared about why I was blocking the friendliness, why I was blocking the love, why all of those things didn't feel like they were coming into me. But the thing is, and this is really, really important, the thing is that I did not have the insight until I was able to trust enough to step off that cliff and say, I work in a friendly church, without knowing why. We have to trust first, and then we get the answers. You know, it's one of those things where I think our separate self is saying, yeah, I'll trust when you give me something to trust. No. No, we trust first. We make the first move, and then the universe rushes in and blesses us in miraculous and amazing ways. So let us trust now, and let us pray.